Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Attacking former President Trump's comment at the debate that he doesn't have a health care plan, but he has concepts of one, his Democratic opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris, tonight in Washington.
We actually have a plan for health care, not just concepts of a plan.
Harris and President Biden at the Congressional Black Caucus Phoenix Awards Dinner. Earlier, former President Trump, when asked about the bomb threats that have emptied schools and other buildings in Springfield, Ohio.
I know that it's been taken over by illegal migrants, and that's a terrible thing that happened. Springfield was this beautiful town, and now they're going through hell.
City and state officials say the Haitian immigrants are not, as Mr. Trump claimed, stealing and eating people's pet dogs and cats. Federal mediators are scheduled to meet with representatives of Boeing and its striking union workers this coming week. This is ABC News. Two NATO leaders say Ukraine has the military and legal right to strike targets deeper inside Russia. One is chair of the NATO Military Committee, Admiral Rob Bauer, though acknowledging,
if nations give weapon systems to Ukraine, it is their right as well to have certain limitations in the use of those weapons, because they feel responsible for those weapons. And that is a political discussion, and that is what happens, and where the some nations have a different opinion.
Generals at NATO's meeting in Prague going on now. A new study finding the brains of teenagers aged rapidly during the COVID lockdown era. Parents should not panic, says ABC News medical contributor Dr. Alok Patel.
Our brains go through changes with age, with maturity. And so some of these changes are not necessarily bad on their own, but they can be accelerated with stress.
Doc advises parents to pay attention to the emotional well-being of kids. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Local music scene. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
You're listening to Live in the Lair, brought to you by the Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, the most trusted name in real estate. Sell or buy your next home at movetomadison.com.
Here we go, Rob. We're back in Live in the Lair, yeah, right here on Max Inc. Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network. Tom Castle, he's been a singer and a folk musician for decades, traveling the world, collecting and performing maritime songs and stories, and captaining sailing ships on the Great Lakes. These days, Tom lives in Madison, and his passions are even more diverse and include a recording of original songs based mostly on traditional fiddle tunes, theater, film, television, and even hosting documentaries. Tom Castle is here to perform songs that can make an Irishman cry tears of pure Tullamore Dew. Tom, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Hey, Rocker. It's great to be here. Great to be here.
Oh, boy. You know, we had you in the lair back March of 2021.
That was back scary days. And I remember we were kind of in masks and we weren't in masks and we were like freaking out. Like, yeah, should we all be in the same room at the same time?
Can you play in this room without a mask? And then you can go in this room, but you have to have a mask on. I'm like,
can we disinfect the microphone before we stick it anywhere? Definitely.
Oh, boy. So are you an Irish whiskey fan?
Well, that comes from Brian Bowers, the auto harp god. He used to, he's played with everybody. He played with the Dead. He played with John Denver. He wrote some songs for John Denver. And basically, if you were looking for an auto harp guy in the 60s and 70s, Brian was the guy. And I opened a show for him at the Brink a few years ago. And he really liked my music. And I said, hey, if you got something nice to say, you know, I wouldn't mind a quote from Brian Bowers. And it had to be a few weeks later, he left it on my voicemail. Tom Castle is a guy who can make an Irishman cry tears of pure Tullamore dew.
I'll take it. Write it down. That's perfect. Oh, you know, hey, you know, we were talking to Madison Foodie earlier. And we were talking restaurants, and I know you've been around and even sailing the Great Lakes and all over the place. What is your favorite restaurant?
Madison is restaurant. I remember when I first moved here, I was looking for apartments and stuff. This is like 17 years ago now. And in one of the little, you know, real estate ads, it said, Madison has more restaurants per capita than any other city in the world or in the country. And I was like, oh, this is great. So my friends in Chicago would say, hey, you moved to Wisconsin? I mean,
oh, the cheese. That's
I'm like,
it.
Jesus,
yeah.
What are you going to do? And I said, I can tell you my third favorite African restaurant and my sixth favorite Mexican, Argentinian mess. I mean, any kind of food you want. Plus, it's supper club heaven. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. I always love going to the Tornado Room because I feel like the Rat Pack will walk in and back at me any moment. And over by East High School, there's my favorite Mexican place is Sabor de Puebla.
Oh, yeah.
And they just opened a new place on the north side.
That's right.
But it's
Sherman Plaza.
It's a little family thing, and they have some of the best mole in the world, and those stews and all that stuff. I just, little family place. I love it.
Well, now that we're hungry, Tom, before we jump into this world of sailing ships, whiskey, and sea shanties, tell us a little bit about yourself. What is your backstory? I mean, how did you become involved in music?
Let's see. Garage bands.
Yeah,
definitely. Seventh grade in Chicago. And God, if I had those instruments today, oh my God, I could buy a car with them. We were talking Les Pauls and SGs and my Princeton, my Fender Princeton reverb amp that I miss more than any piece of gear and all that stuff. It was just incredible. And we had no idea what we were doing. And it didn't matter. We would call out chord progressions as we were going. You know, E, G, A minor, C, and as we were doing, you know, the hits of the early 70s and whatnot. And it was just, still to today, that was some of my favorite time because there's no expectation, there was no pressure. You just cranked up an amp and were louder than heck. It was just great.
Frank Zappa, he said, right, have a couple of beers to make the intonation less severe.
Well, there was definitely
garage bands.
Come to think of it, that was the beginning of my beer drinking career, too.
Of course. Connection.
How could it not be, right?
Yeah.
Down in Chicago, that sounds really fun. Now, what role did your parents play in your musical upbringing?
My parents were the easiest going of anybody in the band. So consequently, 90% of the time, we always rehearsed in our basement, my parents' house. So the cool thing was, there was always a set of drums in my basement. So I taught myself how to play drums, and I love playing drums, but I never owned a set of drums. And then I did an album after my midlife crisis that I wanted to have drums on. So I actually went and bought some drums like a decade ago. And it's just wonderful. In fact, I ended up being a drummer at the Bartell Theater for a couple of productions. They were looking for a pit drummer, and I said, well, do you have to be good? And they said, no, can you do it? And I read some charts, which I never did before, and wow. I had a blast. I had brushes, and I just had a blast with that.
That is so fun. So let's get to, what is a sea shanty?
Ah, well, I've been waiting for sea shanties to become popular for 30 years. And then they finally get viral on the internet, and we have a global pandemic the next day, which was like, so nobody was playing anywhere. But long answer short, a sea shanty is basically a work song of the sea. That's all it is. It's a tool for making sure y'all can, you know, pull on a line at the same time. So instead of going 1, 2, 3, pull, you would just go, we'll haul away, we'll haul away, Joe. And everybody pulls on the word Joe. It's that simple. And the weird thing is, I've done these festivals like in Europe, in the Netherlands. The largest seagoing music festival is actually in Poland. And I played there in the 90s a couple times. And there was sea shanties in like 17 different languages. It was absolutely amazing. And but it was, everybody could sing. Pretty much all the choruses were in English, because the English and the Americans had the biggest merchant fleets. So everybody kind of knew those songs. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there after a few hours, it's like, I think I'm beginning to understand Polish.
Yeah.
Or Dutch, or, you know, Danish. Or, and it was like, no, we're just, no, they're singing. Oh, they're singing the verses in whatever their language was, and then the chorus in English.
Oh, wow. That's yeah. a okay, a now unique I get perspective.
Yeah. You're like, hey, this sounds like it is English.
Right? Now, is the Popeye theme song, is that a sea shanty?
It's more of a dance tune, I think. It's more of a jig, I think.
Definitely. Okay. I was just curious. Well, so how, well, you kind of said how they just came about. Are there pirate shanties?
Oh.
There's a whole genre of music that is like pirate stuff now. In fact, I'm doing a play right now. I've always wanted to do. I've been sailing on
the Great... We will be talking about that play in a little bit.
Okay.
Let's not spoil it.
Okay. And so people, you know, there are all these different pirate festivals and stuff. And actually, I'm doing that preview performance of that play at TeslaCon in November here in Madison, the big steampunk convention. Mm. And mostly because they have a pirate theme this year.
Oh, I see. Well, that makes sense.
So I definitely want to go do that. The whole pirate thing is, it's always been a romantic kind of thing. I remember, you know, growing up watching Treasure Island on channel WGN, yes. You know, and all yep. the old reruns. And or Captain Blood or the Seahawk. You can't not love the Seahawk.
Or the Robinson family.
Yeah. Yes. And it's just... it's one of those things where you've just got, you know, a little bit of romance and running away to sea. Mm.
Well, let's get to some sea shanties in the lair with Tom Castle, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The first song you have for us tonight is called The Cuckoo.
Yep.
Tell us about this song before you play.
Well, it's actually not a sea shanty, but there is part of a sea ballad in this. Mm. And, did you ever spend a lot of time writing a song and then you realized you just wrote somebody else's song? And so I had this lick. I was fooling around with it, and I put some words to it. And then I was doing a fundraising concert, and some friends, Dahi Wolf and Prentice Berg, were playing. And they got up on stage, and the first thing they did was, oh, the cuckoo, she's a pretty bird. And I realized I had spent about 3.5 months writing a song from like 1880-something. And it was just, oh, what do I do with it? So I thought, you know, let's be respectful of the other songs. But then I thought, what would Woody Guthrie do? What would Lead Belly do? They just steal it. That's just it. So that's what I did. So.
All right. Let's hear it. This is Cuckoo. Tom Castle, Max Inc. Radio, you are in the lair.
Oh, the cuckoo, she's a pretty bird. And she sings as she flies, but she never sings cuckoo till the 4th day of July, till the 4th of July. And the nightingale sings so high in the tree, and sometimes she's singing just for me, and she's singing just for me. And if I was a blackbird, you know I'd whistle
and sing, and I follow the vessel. My true love sails in, my true love sails in. And the hummingbird outside my window has the purest of tone, but she never will sing, as she thinks that she's alone. She thinks that she's alone. Oh, the cuckoo, she's a pretty bird, and she sings as she flies, but she never sings cuckoo till the 4th day of July, till the 4th of July.
Tom Castle, right here live in the lair, brought to you by the Aaron Weber Group, the most powered by First Weber, the most trusted name in real estate. Buy or sell your next home at movetomadison.com.
Tom, that was awesome.
Hey, thanks.
Sea shanties aren't, I'm learning a lot about sea shanties today. They aren't just like hobby or like baseball cards or singing Elvis. You lived the life as a captain of sailing ships. Tell us about that part of your life. What is it like to be the captain of a sailing ship? I mean, not a boat, right?
Like a ship.
Yeah, well, they're, you know, okay, everything in my life, I'm just a victim of serendipity. It's and I actually have a planning degree, which is weird. But yeah, everything in my life has just basically been, oh, that looks good. And in the mid-1980s, there was this old Chesapeake Bay oyster boat. A schooner, 85-foot schooner called Charlotte Ann. And she came into Chicago, and she started doing charters and stuff like that. She wasn't doing oysters in the Great Lakes. But at the time, my old partner and I were doing nautical songs because we were coming out of the Irish pub circuit.
Oh, okay.
And it was the kind of the end of the golden age of Irish pubs in Chicago. There were 12 Irish pubs that had live music 2 to 5 nights a week. And you could make $300 on the weekend when your rent was $250. It was the golden age. It was absolutely incredible.
Wow.
As that was collapsing, we started sailing. And because we had a planning background, we just planned our careers. We were going to be singers and sailors. And we would do the sailing in the summer season. And we would go on the road and do the singing the other parts. And we did that for many, many years. And then after a while, did some, you know, more straight singer-songwriter type stuff, and still running with the nautical stuff until, you know, fairly recently. And I'm still doing that. But Madison sucked me into politics and sucked me also into doing all kinds of other music, for sure. I mean, and it was, I'd tell you the truth, it was mostly the protests and the people I met because I had just moved here. And now all of a sudden I'm down at the Capitol with marching bands, with klezmer fiddlers, with opera singers, with rock and rollers, and all these different people, lots of folkies, of course. And we all started playing together. I was a tenor banjo player in a marching band.
Well, now, how did you get to be the captain of a sailing ship, though?
Oh, sorry. Well, going back to that. So anyway.
We're spinning yarns here.
Yeah, we are. But so I started out as a volunteer on this boat, Charlotte Ann. And it was awesome. It was really, really cool learning how to sail an old, you know, traditionally rigged vessel. And then I started to be a paid deckhand. And then I was the unlicensed mate of the boat. I was with the boat for about 6 seasons. And after a while, it was kind of like, oh, I got enough sea time. I think I'll take the captain's test.
Wow.
And I started captaining boats in 1996. And I've done that in Chicago. I've 3 different boats in Chicago, South Haven, Michigan, Traverse City, and then just most recently, I was one of the relief captains on the schooner Dennis Sullivan out of Milwaukee. So if you went down to Discovery World or just went down to the lakefront at all in the last decade, but actually in the last 20 years, you'll see a big sailing ship out there. And that was Wisconsin's flagship, 137-foot, 3-masted schooner.
How many sailors are on a ship like that?
We would have about a half dozen. And then if we were going on a trip, Dennis Sullivan would actually go out the St. Lawrence, all through the Great Lakes, and then out the St. Lawrence and go from, like, Nova Scotia all the way down to Florida. So
wow.
They'd run the whole East Coast. So if you're going overnight, you basically have to have two licenses, two captains, and two full crews. So you might have 12 or 14 people, plus passengers, whoever you're carrying.
Wow, what's the, like, the biggest task? What's the biggest thing that a captain actually does? Make people walk the plank?
Yeah. That's only when the boat's not operating officially, but there are swim calls for sure. I don't know. Most of it is putting together a team. When I first started doing theater here about 9 years ago, I realized theater is basically tall ships. It's you get together with a whole bunch of people, and you're working like crazy, you know, sometimes 24 hours a day. And you're doing this intense thing for a few months. And then you break up. And then you go to the next ship. Or you might go to the next theater, the next play. And then you have the same experience. But there's some people there who are like, oh, I sailed with you on that boat. Or I did that show with you 3 years ago.
It's like a tour.
It's absolutely like a tour. And, you know, in the theater, you'd say, you know, take five, and you'd say, thank you, five. On board a ship, you would say, you know, whatever the order was, you'd repeat it, and you'd say, I. So it's the same. There was very, very little difference. And you have that intense work, and then you would have that intense not working, that intense partying very often. And so I love that, and it's continuing to do that. Unfortunately, in Milwaukee, Discovery World sold the ship, and which is a long story, which we would have to have a couple drinks to talk about. We're hoping to get her back in a couple of years, but right now she's sailing out in Boston and around the Atlantic and Caribbean.
Mm. Well, let's change direction. A few years back, you recorded a song, we have a clip here. Have my guys get ready.
Ah.
You recorded a song. It's called The Onion. What is the backstory? Well, first, let's play a clip, and then we'll hear the backstory. This is The Onion, Tom Castle.
Hold on. It's coming.
It's coming.
I promise, I swear.
I can see the head.
So take a tip from me. I'm sure you will agree. Don't place your bet on news from the net or Al Jazeera. The Onion is by far more fair than NPR or the BBC or UNE or pundits at our bar. 'Cause you can't fool me. I'm sticking to The Onion. I'm sticking to The Onion. I'm sticking to The Onion. Oh, you can't.
Oh, you're sticking to The Onion.
Well,
tell us a little backstory. I know that was on Cheddar Revolution.
Oh, yeah. And also it was on an album that I did, it's been 6-7 years ago now, called Angels and Nightingales. Well, The Onion is basically a reworking of Sticking to the Union. Mm-hmm. And we were down at the Capitol. And I think even to this day, a lot of the polarization in America politically is because nobody trusts the other person's sources. You know, it's fake news. It's fake news on both sides and all of that. So I figured The Onion is the one.
We are fake news.
I mean, it's just it. And in fact, it says the best news source right on the front page, and they wouldn't lie about it. So what happened was, I don't know if you remember, but during the Wisconsin uprising, like a decade ago, they were some of the right wing news guys were really, really anxious to get violent footage, and there wasn't any. It was the most peaceful thing you could possibly see. So what they did was, on the Bill O'Reilly show, they spliced in some violent footage from something that happened in California, and they just put it on the air. It didn't take long for people to actually notice that there were palm trees in the back.
Right, I remember.
And so actually my sweetheart Mariah was one of the people that went around to every party store within 50 miles and they bought inflatable palm trees. So every time a Fox News truck would set up, a thing of palm trees would appear out of nowhere. And that was kind of like the inspiration for that. So it's a traditional tune, Little Red Wing. It's an old old tune, and that is my favorite band I've ever played with. That band is Kevin Clark, jazz player, Emily Mills.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, everybody loves Emily. Let's see, Dahi Wolf on fiddle. Chelsea Shepherd, who is now in the chorus of the Metropolitan Opera in New York. And a whole bunch of people like Prentice and Stephen Lee Rich and a lot of folks in the background there. And it was like my first Celtic klezmer punk jazz band. And I just loved
it. That's quite a fusion.
Every minute of it. It was just great.
Well, let's get back to live music in the lair with Tom Castle, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight is called Cold Winds.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not many sunshiny day songs out there, huh?
Well, Cold Winds, that is one that, that definitely ties into the early days in Charlotte Ann. And I was just beginning to study about, you know, what it was like back in the 1800s to sail on these ships. And basically, if you were sailing on the Great Lakes back in the 1800s, it got to be November or December, and you would probably find yourself 60 feet up in the rig with a bucket of tar slushing down the standing rigging, and your mates would be going, you know, putting the rest of the boat away, and some guys would be going south, and some guys would be getting jobs in town. And if you were really lucky, you could just take the whole winter off, which some did. And so 100 years passes, and I'm on this boat, 60 feet up in the rig with a bucket of tar, thinking things had not changed that much. And this is one of those songs that just, the concertina wrote it all by itself. How's that level? Goes like this. Cold winds blow across the harbor. Cold winds on the inland sea. Same winds that called our fathers, cold winds that call in me. Ice forms on deck and whiskers, light a fire and stay below. Shut up tight, the winds all whisper, pass the bottle, it's time to go. Cold winds blow across the harbor, cold winds on the inland sea, same winds that called our fathers, cold winds are calling me. Rise up and dog the hatches, mind your hands, they're cracked and sore. Check the lines on your way inland. It's time to get a job ashore. Cold winds blow across the harbor. Cold winds on the inland sea. Same winds that called our fathers. Cold winds are calling me. Sun and spray and full moon autumns, wood and water, frost and stone. Early snows mean early winters, taste each season as it goes. Cold winds blow across the harbor, cold winds on the inland sea, same winds that called our fathers, cold winds are calling me.
Tom Castle live in the lair right here on Max Inc. Radio. More from Tom right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
About 3 minutes. Woo, geez.
This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
For the record, good sir, are you saying people that buy or sell with the Aaron Weber Group get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes?
I am, Senator. They also do virtual or in-person meetings, too.
You expect us to believe that the Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, is Madison's go-to real estate expert with results?
Yes.
Order! That's the Aaron Weber Group. Move to Madison.com. Order in the court.
Visit Full Mile Beer Company and Kitchen in downtown Sun Prairie today. Come for the homemade food and beer and stay for the live entertainment. 132 Market Street in Sun Prairie. See the full menu and upcoming events at FullMileBeerCompany.com.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
We're going out of town next month and need a cat sitter.
We use Hotel K Pet Sitting. You know, FreeBellyRubs.com.
Free belly rubs?
Yeah, Hotel K Pet Sitting. They're local and dependable. They feed our cats, put fresh water out, and even scoop the litter box. And they send daily messages with pictures giving us peace of mind while we're away.
For house sitting, cat sitting, and dog walks, it's Hotel K Pet Sitting. Reserve now at FreeBellyRubs.com. FreeBellyRubs.com.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
You found Wisconsin's local music authority. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Live in the lair, brought to you by the Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, the most trusted name in real estate. Sell or buy your next home at movetomadison.com. Rocker, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm just blown away already by Live in the Lair this week.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it gives
and
you
we're
the
learning
goosebumps.
A lot. It's a very learning experience as well.
And it's educational.
It's educational.
Yeah.
You know, we're here with Tom Castle, and outside of sea shanties and music, you perform theatrical.
Which I thought was a house until tonight, just so everyone knows. Yeah. So, sea shanty.
Well, you perform theatrical roles from Shakespeare to political pundits. Tell us about Tom Castle, the actor, and performing with the late, great Ed Asner in God Help Us.
I tell you, it was always something I wanted to do. When I moved to Madison, I wanted to, as I said, hit the reset button and take some voice lessons, learn some theory, do all a bunch of stuff I never did before. And so I had this voice coach, Kodrutz Birzan, and he got me into narrating operas. He said, have you done much acting? I said, no. He said, I'm a storyteller. He said, oh, well, you can be a narrator. So I narrated 8 operas, which led me to do some acting workshops. And then one thing led to another to another. And because I was politically active, I ended up doing a lot of stuff, you know, 8 years at the Solidarity Sing-Along down at the Capitol. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like, oh, would you like to do this thing that's political and theater at the same time? And the first one was Joe Hill. There's a one-man show about Joe Hill I'm doing. We did it down at the Dark Horse Art Bar. And there was a guy in the audience from the Labor Temple. And then in that audience, there was a guy from the University of Akron. And now I've done it in 5 different cities and just came back from the Woody Guthrie Center in Tulsa doing that. So Ed Asner had this touring play called God Help Us. His daughter, Liza, was a producer, and what's his name? Levine was the director, and Mitch Levine. And so they would tour around the United States, and every town they would come to, they would hire two actors. So Norm Stockwell from Progressive Magazine called me up one day, and he said, this thing is coming into town. Would you like to do it? And I said, yeah, when's the auditions? And he said, well, you can just do it if you want.
No audition.
Because you're the activist singer theater guy, and I've seen you do like a half dozen plays, so I don't need an audition. And Jan Levine Thal was so I played the liberal pundit, and Jan Levine Thal, who's a wonderful playwright and actress and everything, and in Madison, who was raised by pretty much almost, you know, socialist academics in New York. She had to play the conservative. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, is seeing her do those words come out of her mouth. And Ed came to town, and we did it at the Bartell Theater. And there's always a part of me that was like, you know, if I ever worked with like a world-class guy like that, I thought it would be New York or Chicago or LA or something. But we're sitting in the back of the Bartell doing the table read, and I'm reading my line, and Lou Grant's voice comes across the table to me. Freaks me out. I'm just, this is otherworldly. It's like, you know, having somebody like that show up in your living room. It was just amazing. So we did a whole bunch of sold out shows. Got to know Ed a little bit, and he was 91 when he did that show.
Wow.
And he passed away the next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to live music in the lair with Tom Castle, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight, it's called Fergus Lang.
Ah.
Who's Fergus Lang?
Well, it's a fellow who's a Manhattan real estate developer. Oh, he's a fellow who's a Manhattan real estate developer. This is a Richard Thompson tune, and he wrote this song many, many years ago. And this guy is still in the news for some reason. I don't know why.
Fergus Lang is a beast of a man. He stitches up and fleeces. He wants a man to cure the world and sell it off in pieces. He likes to build his buildings high, blocks the sun out from the sky. In the penthouse, the champagne's dry, slightly gassy. Fergus Lang, he works so hard, as busy as a bee is. Fergus Lang has 17 friends, all as dull as he is. 17 friends, 17 wives, all the perfect shape and size. They wag their tails and bat their eyes, just like Lassie. Fergus Lang, he builds and builds, yet small is his erection. Fergus Lang has a fine head of hair when the wind's in the right direction. Oh, when the wind's in the right direction. Oh. Fergus Lang and his 17 friends, they live inside a bubble. They withdraw and shut the door and any sign of trouble. Should the peasants wail and vent and ask him where the money went, he'll simply say it's all been spent being classy. Fergus Lang, he builds and builds, yet small is his erection. Fergus Lang has a fine head of hair when the wind's in the right direction. Oh, when the wind's in the right direction. Oh. Fergus' buildings reach the sky until you cannot see him. Thinks the old stuff he pulls down belongs in a museum. His own fair home is on the park, an airy jewel, the city arc. Hung with Picasso, hung with Barack,
but nothing brassy. Fergus and Lang, he builds and builds, yet small is his erection. Fergus and Lang has a fine head of hair when the wind's in the right direction. Oh, when the wind's in the right direction. Oh, when the wind's in the right direction. Oh, when the wind's in the right direction. Oh.
Tom Castle live in the lair, brought to you by the Aaron Weber Group.
Tom, you had mentioned Joe Hill, Alive is You and Me. It's a one-man play that you perform, and you're taking on it on tour this year. Tell us about this. I mean, a one-man play? How does that work?
Well, I've seen a bunch of people do them, and usually when you mention a one-man play, most people sort of squint a little bit and turn away, but it can be something. David Simmons, who has a theater company called Fermat's Last Theater Company, that I did some music for, God, probably 7 years ago. He had this idea of doing this play about Joe Hill, and I had no idea. The only thing I knew about Joe Hill, he was a labor organizer, and Joan Baez sang, "I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night at Woodstock."
Oh, yeah.
So, so that was it. And then I took the deep dive into, researching this and trying to come up with a character. I don't play Joe Hill. I'm basically me. I'm a folk singer, and I'm, doing songs and stories about Joe Hill. But it is a fascinating time when you talk about, the early labor movement and the Wobblies, the IWW. And you're talking about, massacres of workers and stories of, textile mills in Massachusetts where half the children in Lawrence, Massachusetts died before the age of 6, and life expectancy was 39.
Wow.
I mean, those are the times that, where things get, pretty crazy.
It's like history in songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it freaked me out, some of the stories that are in there. And it's just a really interesting play. It's humorous. It's got lots of great songs in it. The Wobblies were a really interesting group. We're talking about, the turn of the 20th century. And they pretty much influenced the Beat Generation, French surrealists. They were kind of the precursor to a lot of that stuff.
Wow.
So picture a union that is really into poetry and art. I mean, seriously, it's kind of like, because I think we've definitely gone down that road where it's kind of like, well, you can either be an academic or you can be a working person. And it's like, no, you can be both. You can read a book, you can enjoy poetry. You can be a songwriter. You can do all of those things. And Joe Hill was a cartoonist and a songwriter and a singer and a organizer and a fascinating story.
Well, now tell me about another person.
Uh-huh.
Who is Dan Seavey?
Ah, okay. So again, back to sailing ships. When you're on a sailing ship for any amount of time in the Great Lakes, somebody, usually kids or drunks, will say, were there ever pirates on the Great Lakes? And right now, if you Google Pirates Great Lakes, you'll come up with the name Dan Seavey. Mm. interesting character. I actually know there's a friend of mine up in the UP whose father stole apples off of his ship when it was in Escanaba, Michigan, Joe Vinette. And so we're talking, this happened maybe in 1910. No, about 1915. So he is definitely a character. And I always would love to do the idea of doing a one-man play. But I'm, for 20 years, I said, well, I'm not an actor. I can't do a one-man play. And now all of a sudden, I got off from doing Joe Hill. And I was like, I guess I am an actor. Damn. Yeah. And I guess I can do a one-man play. So let's start doing this. I start working on it. And I got my friend Francisco Torres, who's a phenomenal director. He's directing it, and he said, yeah, I'll put together a team. I'm like, this is getting serious. So So basically, it's his daughter Kirsten is a stage manager and script supervisor, and Emily Morrison Weeks is our graphics person, and we're putting together a what we're calling a preview performance at this new music space on Winnebago called Muso Madison that Prentice Berg and Cindy Murphy just put together. And it is a really awesome acoustic music space. And it's been Prentice's dream to do this for decades. He wanted to have a space that doesn't depend on selling coffee or booze or anything else. It's just a music space, and it's phenomenal.
Well, I think we're going to hear a little bit of that in a moment, but let's get back to Live Music in the Lair with Tom Castle, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Excuse me, the next song that you have for us tonight, it's called Louisa. What's the story behind this song?
Oh, no, let's not do that, because
okay.
I didn't realize. I guess I missed part of the outline. I have to do an open G tuning for that, and that will take way too much time.
Oh.
Maybe we could end with that. That'd be
okay, let's we'll shuffle things up.
Yeah, if you don't mind. Sorry about that.
We're right here. Well, let's see. The next song you have for us tonight is called Whose Ballad? Ballad about the Wisconsin Uprising. Tell us about this song before you play.
Well, it's the very beginning of the Wisconsin Uprising, and it started out in February of that year. Eventually, there'd be 110,000 people out there, but at this point, there was like 8 or 10,000 people. I think it was February, early March, and my sweetheart Mariah and I were going down to the square, and she said, "Oh, let's go in the Capitol." And I'm a Chicago guy, and I'm like, "They're not going to let you in the Capitol? Come on!"
I said the same thing when I got here. They don't just let you in the Capitol.
No,
no.
And I was like, "There's going to be barricades, and there's going to be, you know, guys in riot gear." And she's like, and she looked at me like she frequently does, and oh, honey. Nobody can keep us out of our house. It's just not going to happen. And I was amazed. We walked right in, and I ended up spending a good chunk of, I don't know, the next 8 years with the Solidarity Sing-Along. Basically, as a group of people that got together, totally ad hoc group, and they sang every day, every weekday at noon for 8 years.
Yes.
And they're still down there once a week. And it's just, it absolutely changed my life because... I learned more about singing and more about life than from these guys than anybody. So this was, you know, one of the chants. Everybody would say, you would say back and forth, whose house? Our house. And then we'd go back and forth. So that chant got into my head, and then this is where the song came from. Whose house? Our house. Never thought a single building would mean this much to me. Whose house? Our house. It's a question and a chorus that is sung by you and me. Through rain and storm and fire, she remains to this day. There is no building higher, and we want it that way. We'll never let a tyrant keep us out or away. House, our house. They bolted all the windows just to keep out you and me. Whose house? Our house. They locked the doors before us, but forgot we had the key. And still in the rotunda, liberty shines bright, and justice maintains balance between wisdom and might. And fighting Bob LaFollette so keeps watch on all each night. Whose house? Our house. Never thought a single building would mean this much to me. Whose house? Our house. It's a question and a chorus that is sung by you and me. We gather here together, every woman, child, and man, from farms and towns and cities and all across the land. Today there's 100,000 who around your doors demand. Whose house? Our house.
They bolted all the windows just to keep out you and me. Whose house? Our house. They locked the doors before us, but forgot we had the key. Whose house? Our house. Whose house? Our house. Whose house? Our house. Whose house? Our house.
Tom Castle live in the lair, brought to you by the Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, the most trusted name in real estate. Buy or sell your next home at movetomadison.com.
All right, Tom, we got a couple more songs left and some things to go, so we'll go through quickly, but I just want to make sure we talk about that we mentioned Confessions of Great Lakes Pirate. This show is a live show coming to the Musso Madison on September 21st. That's right in the heart of the East Side in Madison on Atwood, Winnebago, right in the Atwood neighborhood.
Yeah.
You're also touring the Minocqua Brewing Companies in 10 different cities coming up. That sounds pretty crazy.
I'll tell you, it is... I was intrigued by the idea of progressive beer, and I was following them... I was following on the web for a long time, and then they decided they would open up a brew pub here. And so basically, anytime anything political happens, that's where I go. Tony Castaneda is doing a lot of the music there. He's booking it, and his wife Jenny is running it. And Kirk is, the owner is also a trained opera singer.
Oh, really?
And, it's crazy. And they have an awesome poetry night. They have music of every description. They just opened up a beer garden outside, too. And so I was playing there for what they call beer church. And it's it's Sunday afternoon, and I'm doing a couple of those. And it is just an amazing thing. So I got off the stage, and Kirk grabbed me and said, hey, I want you to do this this thing. It's 12 cities. I could only do 10 of them because I was previously booked. But we're going to go to kind of like Civic Radio. We're going to places that you didn't go to in the, before. Places that, maybe didn't hear that kind of message. And so we're going to Hudson, we're going to Green Bay, we're going to Eau Claire, we're going to Stevens Point. It's 10 cities all in all that I'm going on. It's not the calendar's at Minocqua Brewing and also at tomcastle.com. And it's going to be awesome. Basically, I'm going to open every show. And then they have local politicians and activists and groups that are mostly focusing on registering people to vote. Mm. So it's going to be a big get out the vote thing is the main thrust of it. And then there's a musical act from every town we're going to be in. And they'll be finishing up the show. We'll probably do some songs together.
Well, let's get back to live music in the lair with Tom Castle, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have tonight is called Moonlight Tonight.
Ah.
And this is a song from the new play, Dan Seavey, Confessions of a Great Lake Pirate. We're finally going to hear a pirate song?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Well, see, you're going to do a little bit of that. This is an unusual song. I was doing a sea music festival up in Halifax, Nova Scotia, about 8 years ago, and there was this guy, the singer Clary Croft, is his name, and he sang this song. And I just really loved it, and he introduced it as a song that old commercial fishermen used to sing on their way out of the harbor, at least as late as like World War II. And I just loved the song. And he sent me his recording of it. And then he also sent me the field recording of the old fishermen out there like 70 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it's really awesome because it's got kind of a weird arrangement, you'll see. The second verse kind of takes off into a different place. And so when I was thinking about the songs for Dan Seavey, I was thinking that he might know, he might have heard this song because it's an old song. He was turn of the 20th century, and I was like, yeah, that might work. And it's kind of like the backbone of the whole play. And also with Sea Shanties, I forgot to mention, also at Museo Madison, I am going to be doing an intensive workshop on November 23rd. Sea Shanties, how they were used, where they came from, all that kind of stuff. Mm. Have it's like a 2-hour workshop, 3-hour workshop, and then we'll do a concert that night too. We just put that together a few days ago. That's going to be a lot of fun. But this one is it's almost like a lullaby, but it's a gorgeous tune. And if you're looking at the moon when you're out tonight, it is really a gorgeous night for it. Here we go.
Moon,
I was just a little girl.
Well, I was just a little girl. Moonlight, starlight, moonlight shines so bright. Moonlight tonight, boy, starlight tonight. Moonlight shines on the water. Now when you are a dreaming mother, when you are a dreaming mother, when you are a dreaming mother, don't forget to dream of me. Moonlight, starlight, moonlight shines so bright. Moonlight at night, boy, starlight tonight. Moonlight shines on the water. Moonlight tonight, boy, starlight tonight. Take your sweetheart out for a stroll. Mind what you say, boys, mind what you tell her. Tell her how you're colder when the night grows cold. Moonlight, starlight, moonlight shines so bright. Moonlight at night, boy, starlight tonight. Moonlight shines on the water. So when you are a dreaming mother, when you are a dreaming mother, when you are a dreaming mother, don't forget to dream of me. Moonlight, starlight, moonlight shines so bright. Moonlight at night, boy, starlight tonight. Moonlight shines on the water. Moonlight, starlight, moonlight shines so bright. Moonlight at night, boy, starlight tonight. Moonlight shines on the water. Moonlight at night, boy, starlight.
You've been listening to Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Radio with Tom Castle, brought to you by the Aaron Weber Group, the most powered by First Weber, the most trusted name in real estate. Stay tuned to Max Inc. Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom, thank you so much for coming in tonight to perform for us on Max Inc. Radio. We really appreciate it. All right. Make sure to tune in. Right now, we're going to go to Indy 45 and Max Inc. After Hours with Rob Roberts.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CB Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.